Well, people of God, please turn in your copy of God's Holy Word to the book of Psalms and Psalm 93. We come once more to our Psalm of the Month series. Every month it is our practice to consider a psalm in the Word of God. We go sequentially, so we have done this 93 months at this point. And the reason we do that is because the book of Psalms is God's songbook. It is our songbook of praise. And we are to sing it with meaning and understanding by faith. The apostle says, I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. And so we sing these words with understanding. And as we hear it preached, Lord willing, we will better understand how to sing God's praise. Well, with that then, please turn your attention now to the reading of God's holy word, Psalm 93. These are the words of our God. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Let's pray for the preaching of it. Our Father and our God, we come once more to a most glorious word from you that proclaims the truth that you, O Lord, reign. And Father, the man who comes to preach now does not reign. He is a humble servant. Humble your servant, Lord, before you. May your servant only preach what you desire him to preach. May he go where you go, and may he proclaim the excellencies of Christ as you would have him proclaim it. O Lord, we pray, Father, that Jesus Christ and his glorious reign would be impressed on the hearts and souls of all that are hearing this word now, that even as the word of God is preached, Jesus Christ would be magnified. And so, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit, who alone can enable that to happen, would be active among us, both on the preacher and the hearer of the word. And to that end, Lord, we pray that you would let my speech and my preaching be not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that the faith of these dear people should not stand in the wisdom of men, but rather in the power of God, who reigns and rules over us all. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, people of God, in this fallen world, it is so easy to feel overwhelmed, to feel as though you will drown. I want to just bring that to your remembrance because sometimes in the midst of difficulties, we are very good at trying to shut it all out and not deal with it. But just consider these past few years and how trying they have been for the people of God. This coronavirus has spread throughout the world. Some of our loved ones, even in this congregation, have died. Not in this congregation, but loved ones of the congregation have died. Governments have shut down churches, have forced those who are lonely to isolate from one another. Recently, a party that is unfriendly to Christ's church has had power. Perverted persons have redefined marriage, or so they think, in the nation, even trying to redefine what male and female are. Our livelihoods and our families are being threatened if we do not bow down to their perversion. The economy seems to be insecure. Beastly nations are rising to power on the world stage. And then many of you have faced trying circumstances personally. Job loss, disease, contentions in your family, the loss of friends or loved ones, apostasy even in those closest to you. Sometimes great temptations and great sins seem to wash over you. The flaming darts of the devil seem to be constant against you. And some of you just feel overwhelmed with all the duties that God has given to you. And perhaps, even as I mention these things, you are starting to feel overwhelmed as you remember these things. But friends, it's not just you. Many feel like drowning because of despair and hopelessness. And what the psalm is going to show in its final verse is that with despair comes something truly pernicious. You stop walking closely with God. Hopelessness, mark this well, hopelessness starts to displace holiness. And I think you know that, friends, when it happens. Whenever you lose hope and you are overwhelmed and you lose your sight and sense of Jesus Christ, you no longer walk closely with him. But because of that reality in this fallen world with our fallen flesh, God has given you this psalm, beloved, with a truth that you must hold fast to in three very easy to memorize words. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. To remind you that at every moment, the Lord Jesus Christ is in control and on his throne. That no matter what tempts you to despair, the Lord is enthroned above it all. Friends, we need to grab hold of the message of this psalm. And so our theme this morning is very simple, and it uses the scripture to define itself. Our theme is praise the Lord that Jesus Christ reigns. And because he does, you can walk boldly in holiness. Because God in Jesus Christ reigns, you can be bold when you walk in holiness. And I want to preach that theme to you from Psalm 93 so that you would not just sing it, but that you would live it and praise God by it. We're going to do that by considering Christ's reign under the three headings on your outline. First is to consider Christ's reign. Second is to consider Christ's enemies. And third, considering Christ's commands, and we could even consider Christ's holiness in that. But first, Christ's reign. And we look at the context for our psalms, and this psalm is rather simple. There's no inspired title. It doesn't tell us who the human author is. There's little context, but context is not really very necessary, for its truth is eternal. In the Hebrew, it begins abruptly. Two words kick it off. Jehovah reigneth, stating that he is the absolute ruler and there are no qualifications found. He is utterly in control. There are no qualifications. It simply says, Jehovah reigneth. And it doesn't say over this nation or over that place, over this group of people, over those circumstances. No, absolutely Jehovah reigneth. Friends, he rules over everything. Everything you could possibly think of in your mind right now, he rules over. He rules over seas and storms. He rules over nations. He rules over diseases and viruses. He rules over devils and demons. He rules over the church. He rules over even you and me. He rules over all there is. Jehovah reigneth. Nothing, friends, is outside his power, and nothing is outside of his control. He is utterly sovereign. There are no qualifiers in this verse because there are no qualifiers to his reign. It's a very simple truth. I haven't said anything particularly profound, but it does not grip us, friends. It does not seem to affect our walk. If the Lord were to interrogate you right now and ask, do you live as though I reign? Do you live as though I have control over all things? What would you tell him? Perhaps he is interrogating you even now by his Spirit. What would you say? Beloved of God, you must please capture the vision of the Lord as he is in this psalm. And you must impress it upon your soul and let the picture of who Christ is here grip you when you need it. So in verse one, it says that the Lord is clothed with majesty and with strength. And the word translated majesty in the original language, in its source, communicates pure, unbridled power. Power. It's from a Hebrew word that communicates the swelling of the seas. The swelling of the seas, which is very interesting given all the imagery here of water. Boys and girls, you know when the ocean swells, right? When the oceans toss and turn, they will heave our mightiest ocean liners like mere toys. And that's the picture here of the Lord's majesty and power. It is unbridled, and nothing can control it, and nothing can contain it, and nothing can contend against it. And that's who this God who reigns is. But friends, he who is so majestic and is seated on his holy throne, he has a name. And his name here is Jehovah. Boys and girls, that's the divine name. It's signified in your Bibles by being all in capital letters, Lord capitalized. And what does his name mean? Boys and girls, you know what it means, right? It means I am that I am, right? You know that. He is self-existent. He is the source of every other being, for in him we move and live and have our being, friends. He is without beginning and without end. He is both Alpha and Omega, the source of all power and all blessing, self-reliant, utterly omnipotent. That's why in the first verse it says, the Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. Himself. Himself, friends. No one has girded him with strength. His omnipotence is his own. He is, we had a question about this morning, about the proper use of the word awesome. But he is truly awesome. He is majestic and he is holy. And you, what you must have in your own heart and mind are such exalted thoughts of your God. And what you now also must remember when you see the divine name, friends, as you now have to have it applied to your own heart if you are the people of God, is you remember that the name Jehovah was revealed to his people alone. Isn't that right? The name by which we, his people alone, know him, a name that is for us. The name that he first revealed, remember this, to Moses, when he said he remembered us in our low estate. When our cries came up to him, he revealed himself as Jehovah. When Moses asked, who shall I say has sent me? When he sent Moses to free us from Egypt. And the joy of seeing these words here in this psalm, that Jehovah reigneth, is to recognize that it is your covenant God who rules the cosmos, a God of loving kindness to you, rules over everything. And there's great joy in seeing the divine name, that it is he who rules over everything and remembers you in your lowest state. And so when you think, friends, and you think of God by his covenant name, the Lord, or here Jehovah, you must straightaway think of who? Jesus Christ. For the Bible says of Jesus, he must what? He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25. You know, beloved of God, and we don't make this connection as often as we should. So let's make the connection. Beloved of God, it's not enough to recognize that a good God is in power, which would be more than enough for us. But you must recognize that he who bled on that cross for your sins is he who reigns. Who reigns, Christian? Have you thought of the question? Is it not the one who said, I am the good shepherd? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Who is it that reigns, Christian? Is it not the one the Holy Spirit spoke of when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end? Believer, if your eyes were opened to really see who reigns, oh, you would understand why in tribulation Jesus Christ said to you, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. You know, after his ascension, this is not going to be a topical sermon on Jesus Christ ruling as the God-man, but I'll put this before you again. After his ascension, the Son of God is now enthroned as God-man. You know, in the book of the Revelation, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne, the Lamb, the God-man mediator who was slain for your iniquities, believer, is the one who rules and reigns over all things. The one whose hands were pierced by nails to hold him fast to the cross is the one who now holds fast the scepter of God's power on the throne. If you only knew, friends, how different life might be for you and me when the floods come and we are threatened to be washed away. You know, in our Hebrews series, I am longing to preach those blessed words in Hebrews 2, verse 9, which I believe we will come to very soon, where it says, but we see Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, but now what? Crowned with glory and honor. We are meant to see Jesus. But do we really see him, friends, as the Word of God teaches us to see him? Do you see Jesus Christ the way that the psalm would have you see him? Do you see him with a crown as well as a cross? You must. Children of God, he who decrees every providence in your life, even the floods and the storms we're going to consider, he who decrees all those providences has laid his life down for you, and you must think on that when you think of his rule. That's why Paul prays in Ephesians 1, and I'm not going to have you turn there, but just listen carefully. His prayer is, the Holy Ghost's prayer is this, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, he wants your eyes of your understanding enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe by the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in who? Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to who? The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God has put all things, beloved, under the feet of Jesus Christ for whose sake? The church's sake. And are you not part of the church if you are in faith? You are. Can you not then say that all things have been committed to Jesus Christ, my Savior, for my good, his power exercised to usward who believe, his body, his bride, that he cherishes in Ephesians 5. Our kinsman redeemer reigneth. God, even as our brother in the flesh, reigneth for us. And that's a remarkable thing that has many implications, friends. And it must comfort you that he who bled for you now rules over all things. And so when this psalm speaks of the stability and order in this world, look at verse 1. The world also is established, and it cannot be moved. What we have to recognize, friends, is that the stability and order established by the Lord is for the sake of the church, his bride, and her well-being. We have an idiom in our society when we face difficulties, And it goes something like this. We say, my world has come crashing down. But no, beloved, the Lord reigns. The world cannot be moved. The sun will rise again as it has for so long until that last day when God has decreed that Jesus Christ will return for us, his church. And you must recognize that even nature and nature's laws then in verse 1 are under Jesus Christ for the sake of his people, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Colossians 1:17. And if the world is established, friends, by the ruler of the cosmos who is the Lamb of God, you have to remember then that all that happens is for your good, beloved of God. Every providence, and if you know that, you would say with Job, shall we not accept evil or adversity from the Lord as well as good? Because both are from the Lamb of God who reigns. And how we are reminded in this text of the stability of his dominion and the absolute rule of Christ in verse 2. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. Though he was incarnated, friends, the Son of God is everlasting as a divine person. And as he is essentially, by essence of being eternal and everlasting, he is king forevermore. His throne is from eternity past. There was not a day, friends, when God was not on the throne, when the Son of God was not on the throne as God. He's always ruled, beloved. He has never vacated his throne, and that means he never will. And the connection to the divine nature here teaches you something very interesting. If he ever stopped for a moment reigning, if you ever think that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is not reigning, he would cease to be God. For his kingship, his rule, and his dominion is essentially part of who he is eternally. And so now you can think of every providence that has ever happened in this fallen world. He did not get off of his throne when the serpent tempted Eve. He did not get off his throne when Egypt enslaved his people. He did not get off his throne when Paul was executed by Nero. He did not get off his throne when COVID was sent into the world. And he never will. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever distresses you, friend, you must never stop forgetting the Lord reigneth. It is a truth for every age, even this very day. The word reigneth is in what we call the perfect tense, meaning that his reign is ongoing and forever. And the end of the book testifies to that. How does Revelation 19 put it? Near the end of this age, we hear, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Showing you, child of God, that not today, not tomorrow, not in any of your problems, has he abdicated his throne, or will he abdicate his throne? And you must praise God and always in trouble say, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Hallelujah, God is on his holy throne. So, having seen and tasted the goodness of God in Jesus Christ, in his power and majesty for us, I want us to contrast his power and dominion to his enemies in our next heading, which is Christ's enemies. In verse 3, the enemies of God are described as floods. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. But it's not literal floods the Holy Ghost is concerned with, friends. It's rather a concern with the enemies of God's people. And a flood is a very poetic device to describe them. A way for you to sense and even intuit the danger that you face and maybe correlate it with those things that you face that feel like a flood threatening to overwhelm you. For friends, you know that a rising flood is a deadly, dangerous thing. If you've ever experienced a flood, the power of a great volume of water is terrible, isn't it? You probably get flash flood warnings on your phones, is my guess. And why is it that you get warnings like that? Because a flash flood can instantly wash you away and whatever structure you are in and leave nary a trace that you ever existed at all. And so, the enemies of God, as we connected, and those people in those days when this psalm was first penned by the Holy Ghost, would have gotten it in their experience. The enemies of God are connected to floods often in the Bible. For it often seems like the people of God, as insignificant as we are often threatened to be washed straight away. Jeremiah 46, verses 7 through 8 is very helpful in seeing how God uses the enemies of God as floods, or portrays them that way anyhow. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up and will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Very interesting, right? Because who is the one who truly sent a flood to cover the earth? It's God. And here, the enemies of God often try to portray themselves as God. But in any case, Egypt was described as a flood rising and destroying. He thought in his mind he would come and eradicate the people of God. And you see how the enemies of God swell with pride. They're so noisy and boisterous. And oh, they are good at getting your attention, friends. Making themselves seem fierce and insurmountable, they make a fierce noise, and we tremble just as Israel often did. But I also want you to see, before we consider that, I want you to see these are real dangers in the psalm, right? They're not illusory. God is not trying to make you think that these dangers you face are not real dangers. Persecution is real. Martyrdom is real. Nations rising up against the church is real. Death is real. Disease is real. Evil regimes are real. The psalm is not minimizing their dangers. They are truly like floods. They are nerve-wracking. They are good at grabbing your attention. And the psalm says the floods lift up their voice. And I had a chance to meditate on that for a moment. They lift up their voice, and we are very good at listening to their voice. And sometimes that's all we find ourselves listening to, people of God, is the voice of God's enemy. It's what captivates us. It's what has grabbed and arrested us. Beloved of God, think about it. When troubles and tribulation come, when bad news comes to you, when things go sour or south, whether it's elections, personal providences, disease or whatever, whose voice are you most likely to hear? The floods or the good shepherds? I think for many of us, our thought life is consumed with the floods. We tremble and we quake, and all we listen to is the voice of doom and despair. In this age, we're probably refreshing our browsers constantly to see if the bad news has come or what the latest bad news is. More likely to do that, friends, and sad to say, than to pick up the word and read, "The Lord reigneth." Is that not something to remedy in your own life, people of God? To listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd more than the floods. And the psalm also shows you not just to go to the word, but to also pray as soon as you hear the voice of the floods. And that's something that we often don't do when the news comes, when the floods raise up their voice. Because if you look at verse 3 and you look at it very carefully, you will find that it is a prayer. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. Who is the psalmist speaking to? When he says that their noise has caught my attention and I'm gripped by it, it says, O Lord, they have lifted up their voice. Friends, in every way, when the floods come, you need to set your focus on Jesus Christ. You must pray constantly, friends, in preparation for the moment. As you pray that the Lord would not lead you into temptation, you must pray, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 61, verse 2. So when the floods come, have your attention on the voice of God and have your attention on prayer and set your thoughts on Jesus. And when you pray, you know, you think about this, right? In verse 3, when he's praying to the Lord, he's already acknowledged the Lord reigneth. In other words, he knows his prayer is going to the King Omnipotent. It's going to the Lamb slain for me. And how you would pray if you knew the Lord reigns and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this your reflex, friends? That when the floods come, you immediately say, the floods have lifted up their voice, O Lord God. You must make it your reflex. And look at verse 3. It says, the floods lift up their waves. You know, it's as though, friends, we lift up our eyes and we're seeing the floodwaters arise over our heads. And they're about to engulf us, friends. And we're terrified because in truth, we are insignificant compared to the floods. And we are. And we have to realize that it is folly to think that we can withstand the floods ourselves. And so we quake as we crane our necks and we see that we are about to be swept away and the floodwaters are to submerge us. Child of God, the psalm says, you lift up your eyes. But the truth is, you don't lift them up high enough. Your eyes must go higher than the floodwaters. Look at verse 4. What is the immediate response the psalmist has when the floods have lifted up their waves? He says, the Lord on high is mightier. The Lord on high is mightier. Your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, must go higher than the floods and your difficulties to see that the Lord is enthroned above them all. What do we sing in Psalm 29, verse 10? The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. In the final analysis, friends, I want you to understand this. The voice of God's enemies is just noise. It's just noise. In Jeremiah 46, I had already spoken of Egypt as a flood. Hear what Egypt's floods were to God's ears. In verse 17, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He hath passed the time appointed. People of God, there is a time appointed for every enemy of God to be eradicated by the Lord. Pharaoh reigned for a good while, yes, but he was drowned by the Lord in the time appointed. Every enemy will fall under Jesus Christ's feet on the day he has appointed. You know how this age ends, don't you? With the triumph of Christ. And he has already won. Every enemy will fall. Each enemy has an expiration date. Blessedly, even your own sin. He will reign until even our last enemy, death itself, is eliminated. Consider the kingly nature of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15:26. For he must reign till what? He hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The Lord reigneth. Those three words are all throughout your Bible, and I wish you would search it out when the floods come, friends. Compared to Christ, if I may steal from the bard for a moment, the enemies of God are only sound and fury signifying nothing in the final analysis. You know, you just think about it. What's the worst that could happen to you, child of God? If God's enemies kill you, you are with Jesus. They were just noise in the final analysis. If God's enemies are overcome, they overcome me, by God's grace, or I overcome them by God's grace, they were just noise. Sound and fury in the final analysis signifying nothing. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise in the ears of God. And I want you to see in this psalm how proportionate it is. It truly is beautiful. How many verses does the psalmist spend on the enemies of God? Just one in verse 3. And it's as though God creates a sandwich and he surrounds the enemies of God, as he does in truth throughout the rest of the psalm. Verse 3 in the middle is a consideration of the enemies of God, and then all around it is God in his power and holiness. But I suppose, friend, if you or I were to compose this psalm, we would write a psalm full of the terror and full of the fright of what opposes us, and we would have very little to say about Jesus Christ and his power and his rule and his authority. I know that afflicts my own heart, and I know it afflicts many of you when I speak to you as your pastor. And frankly, my social media feed reflects it, even among Christians. Constantly a meditation on God's enemies, and how few are posting, "The Lord reigneth." Completely inverted from the psalm. Does the psalm not show you the better way, child of God? To have your heart constantly full of this thought, "The Lord Jesus Christ reigneth." In your life, friends, I'm going to plead with you, as I have often in many ways, in your life, constantly set Jesus Christ before your eyes and in your heart. Fill your heart with Christ and not the floods. This is a famous quote. I want to say it again. You know, Robert Murray McShane said it so well. "For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. He is altogether lovely, such infinite majesty, and yet such meekness and grace, and all for sinners, even the chief. Live much in the smiles of God, bask in his beams, feel his all-seeing eyes settled on you in love, and repose in his almighty arms. Let your soul be filled with a heart-ravishing sense of the sweetness and excellency of Christ and all that is in him." Well, friends, if you would live life that way, the enemies of God would be nothing more to you than noise. Whenever you sense your own insufficiency, and when the floods come, or even your sinful heart rages and the devil sends those fiery darts, where are you going to look to? Yourself. Maybe for this one glance, which is to see your own insufficiency. But then you take 10 looks at Jesus and repose in his almighty arms, remembering the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, and that he still, because he has not changed, has that same power to still the storm as he did for his disciples so long ago on that boat. You know, for Christ's friends, it is a great and tremendous comfort to know that he reigns. But if you are not in Christ by faith, his rule must be a great terror to you. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This is the word of God, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. You have heard that the Lord Jesus Christ is clothed with majesty and power and higher than all. Do you think you will withstand him when he judges you for your sins? For your refusal to submit to him and acknowledge him for who he is, your king. And you need to understand sin in this way. It's not just an abstract word. It is royal treason. It is a violation of the king's constitution, which is his word. 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And whose law is it you violate? Our brother, when he prayed, he alluded to it. It is the royal law. It is the law of he who reigns. And that's why the wages of sin is rightfully death. Romans 6:23. A just condemnation for breaking the Lord's law and being a rebel against him. You are not the one saved by the floods if you're not in Christ, but you are the one who will be drowned like Pharaoh. But you know, as I quoted Romans 6:23, and I pray and I trust especially you children know that this is a partial citation I gave. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our what? Our Lord. Our Lord. The very Lord who reigns, friends. The very Lord whose laws you have broken came in human flesh to give sinners the free gift of salvation and clemency for breaking the royal law. And all he says you must do is repent of your sinful ways and put your faith in him and be saved. And then to walk by faith in him and serve him. And then at the judgment seat, friends, you will not quake, but you will hear with all who truly believe, enter thou into the joy of your what? Lord. Matthew 25:23. What a king, friends, who reigns. What a king who grants free pardon by paying for our rebellion with his blood. Friends, if you only knew the character of the he who sits on the throne, come to Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you, I have only expressed, and I hope you understand that, the testimony of the word of God in all I have said thus far. They are God's testimonies. And so the psalm says in verse 5 something wonderful. Thy testimonies are very sure. Very sure. The testimonies of God are very sure. You can count on the testimony of God that not only does he reign, but that there is also free pardon in Jesus Christ. What else will you stake your life on eternally but that truth? Thank God it is very sure. Well, with that, I want to turn to our final heading, having considered the enemies of God and the noise that they make, and that is Christ's commands or Christ's holiness. Believers, those of you who have named the name of Christ, I hope you have found some comfort in these meditations thus far. But I have to also warn you, don't be comforted if you ever forget that he reigns over you as well. There is comfort in saying the Lord reigns if you also say to Jesus, well, let me negate that. There is no comfort in saying the Lord reigns if you also say to Jesus, I will not have this man reign over me. Many backsliders try to find comfort, friends, but as living rebellious lives, they can find no comfort in hearing the Lord reigns. Friends, there is no comfort in a backslider or apostate saying, the Lord reigneth. If you live in rank rebellion, saying the Lord reigns is only going to cause you troubles. You'll not want to even think on the idea that the Lord reigns because you know what that means for yourself. Many today suffer terrors of conscience and feel overwhelmed because they sin with impunity. And let me say that the most troubled people I know are Christian people, or say they're Christians, but will not walk in holiness. You know, the floods frighten them because they have no peace of conscience with the king. If you live a disobedient life, the Lord is asking you now, listen to this well. Why call ye me Lord? And do not the things which I say. Luke 6:46. To say the Lord reigneth while living in unrepented sin is only going to condemn you, friend. And friends, I believe there's little more obnoxious to God, friends, than you fretting over God's enemies, whether they are political or personal, while refusing to acknowledge that the Lord reigns over yourself. How can you do it? How can you do it? How can you get so angry at all of God's enemies while you live as a rebel? Look on what the Lord wants of you in verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. It's holiness that is the fragrance of God's people, friends. It is the aroma of Jesus Christ, after all, and it's a delightful aroma to the Lord. Congregation, holiness must define the Dallas Reformed Presbyterian Church. Holiness must define your own home, and holiness must define your walk with the Lord. And what I want you to understand, and I'm not going to talk about his kingship over the nations today, because we have to get first things first. If you truly cling to the Lord reigneth, that truth must permeate your life first. He must rule over your own heart, and holiness must define you. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or conduct. 1 Peter 1:15. And what is it that defines holiness? The psalm says, thy testimonies, or the word of God, is where you go to find what holiness is all about. And you must follow it by God's help. So I'm going to say, once again, very plainly, it's a time for some introspection, friends. If you feel overwhelmed by the floods, you really need to see if your life is rooted in God's word. I'm going to return back to Luke 6:46 and the following verses where Jesus asked, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Have you considered? Do you remember? Do you remember how that goes afterwards? Listen to it well with this psalm in view. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. What is he like? He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundations on a rock. And when what arose? The flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. Friends, if your life is built on the word of God and you endeavor by God's grace to do it, when the flood waters beat vehemently against you, you will not be shaken because you are founded on the rock. Who is who, boys and girls? The Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? You're founded on the rock who reigns, and the king will not allow you to be moved if you are rooted and built upon his word. It's a wonderful thing to see how the word of God is so cohesive and so consistent in its testimonies. So if you recognize this morning and you've been convicted that you have not been following his word and you have rebelled, if he has made that clear to you this morning, it is not too late this very moment to return to the king and repent of your sin. I don't know, friends, where you are in rank disobedience to your king. But God knows, and you know, I'm very certain. You need to humble yourself. You need to come to the Lord who reigns and remember the word that says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I have also come to recognize, both by personal experience and as a pastor, friends, that so many of us, though we hear that holiness becomes God's house, I have come to recognize that many of us have a hard time walking in holiness because we are afraid. We are afraid of what will happen if we pursue holiness. That if we pursue the word of God and we follow it as it must be followed, that opposition, that floods will arise and threaten to destroy us. There are many believers who are anxious, and I want to be careful, friends. There are many believers who are anxious because they tried to suppress the truth of the Lord reigns because they are afraid of what will happen when they do what is truly righteous in his eyes. But friends, the encouragement of the psalm is this, that if you knew the Lord reigns, you should be able to do what is right in God's eyes without fear. Because who reigns? The Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you about the things that often frighten God's people and ask you if you can give these things up. Could you not give up a relationship that is founded upon sin, knowing that the Lord reigns? Can you not let go of a job that violates God's law if you knew God reigns? Could you not tell the truth, boys and girls, when you know it might cost you everything if you knew God reigns? Could you not take a stand for Jesus Christ when the world tells you to sin against him or tells you to deny him? Can you not do the duties that God has put in your hands when it seems too hard to do And when you feel like it would just be better to give up on all that God has told you to do because it just seems too hard and it'd be easier just to give up under the flood. When you're afraid, what three words have I encouraged you to remember this day? The Lord reigneth. And it must be the wind in your sails of obedience, friends. And he who reigns will smile upon you when you walk in a way that is utterly, utterly reliant on the truth of it. Just as he smiled on David when he said, the battle belongs to the Lord. You must believe, he says, that he will honor them that honor him. And friends, this psalm also wants you to consider eternity. For it says that it is holiness and not the floods that define the eternal state. That's how the psalm ends. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Forever. We just went out proclaiming, ye must be born again. You are born again to live in holiness, friends. You are born again to live in holiness, and one day, blessedly, your sin will be utterly removed in glory if you are Christ's. And if that thought truly delighted you the way that you say it does, you would want more of eternity today. And you would want more of holiness and the aroma of Christ today. If you are to prepare yourself for eternity, friends, you must be fearlessly holy. There is a day coming when the floods will cease. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The waves that threaten to crash over you will be gone, believer, but holiness is forever. Friends, the Lord has given you three words to hang on to for dear life. The Lord reigneth. And there are many more implications of this truth. We have just scratched the surface of the teaching of the psalm. Much more could be said. As I have said, the nations of this earth must acknowledge the Lord reigns. But it is for you and me first who must grab that truth. For you and me, when we are overwhelmed by the floods, whether persecution, temptation, hatred, hard providences, sickness, whatever it is, a lack of strength to do what God has called you to, whatever it is, you need to condition your soul and make it a reflex to say, the Lord reigneth and the Lord on high is mightier than the floods. How often are those words in your heart, friends? And you must mean it, child of God. And you must walk in holiness, trusting in the Lord. And you will walk, boys and girls, if you do so, you will walk as a pilgrim in this world and you will walk into glory beautifully. I know you do not see with your physical eyes, friends, that the Lord reigns. Sometimes it's very hard to perceive that in this world. But the world is established by him. The truth of God's word says it. And the prayer of Ephesians 1 is that the eyes of your understanding would be open to it, because our eyes are often closed to this truth. At the end of the book, we'll close on this thought. We read, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Do you see what is so beautiful there? The floodwaters are gone, but in their place is the voice of many waters. But what is that voice? It is the voice of our praise to God. So you need to replace the voice of the flood with the voice of praise by singing this psalm. Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. At the end of the age, friends, what that verse in Revelation 19 is teaching, at the end of the age in glory, you are going to reflect that all the days of your life in this world, the Lord God had reigned. You need to praise God now, though. Why not praise God now for that without waiting until that day? Why not praise God before the floods come, and then you will praise God when the floods come? After hearing this psalm, friends, if you cannot praise God that Jesus Christ reigneth, I truly believe you have much to repent of. Please turn to Jesus for comfort and sing, Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And may God help us all live out that truth. Amen. Please rise for prayer if able. O Lord, when our hearts are overwhelmed, would you lead us to the rock which is higher than we are? O God, you know that many things trouble your people. You ask us often, why are our hearts so full of trouble? You tell us, be of good cheer, Lord. You have told us that we are to take heart and be of good cheer, that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. We confess to you, Father, that it is a rarity that we live life that way. So, Lord, for these people, would you give them the blessing of living that way? And, Lord, if some here have not submitted their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't know who they are, maybe their best friends don't know who they are, but God, you know who they are. And so, Lord, we ask that you would have them submit to the Lord Jesus Christ through this proclamation of his most holy word. O Lord, help all here see we have such a beloved Savior who rules with the rod of your power because he had gone to that cross to purchase a bride that he now rules for. We praise you, O Lord, that our bridegroom is ruling over all providences, even this moment, for our good. Help us to live and love Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have said, ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a wonderful pairing with the Lord reigneth. We bless you and praise you this day, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.